Sunday night, Monday, Nashville, Monday, Tuesday, Dayton, and now Jacksonville, Florida. That's where we want the path to travel for Belmont's basketball team. We're joined now by Bruins coach Rick Berg. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, congratulations. Watched every minute of it. Congratulations.
Well, it was certainly a historic win for us. I'd like to see us play a little better at times, but a win's a win.
Well, you've been through, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten these questions 1,400 times, and I'm going to ask them again, though. Sunday night, Sunday night sitting there, and I'm going to take it back before that. All week long, Murray State won the OVC tournament up in Evansville a week ago Saturday night, and their name is going to be listed first all the way through, yet I dare say the previous seven automatics that your team has had, you got nowhere near the attention going into the tournament that you did this week, because you were sort of the point of conversation. Should they be in? Should they be not? Is this where the committee is going to reward the, quote, mid-majors? And let's see how that happens. So you got a lot more attention by losing that game than you did if you had won it.
There's no question about that. You're exactly right. I mean, you know, you want to win your tournament championship. We didn't know what our odds were of getting in as an at-large, but and I wouldn't recommend this path for people to try. But you're right. I mean, Belmont University and our basketball program and our kids ended up getting far more national attention. And then you throw the fact in that we play on the first night of the NCAA tournament, when it's the only game for people to watch in the NCAA tournament. I guess the NIT was on for some games, but we probably had more people watching Belmont basketball than maybe we've ever had.
Yeah, and then all week long, just I guess you have to prepare your team to play not knowing two things. One, you definitely don't know your opponent, and number two, you don't even know if you're going to be playing. How did you handle the week leading up to Sunday night?
Well, we did know we would be playing in the NIT.
That's correct.
So
yeah.
That was a plus for us to have a reason to be out there. But no, we had no idea who we would play. Didn't even try to think about it. Worked on our stuff. And, you know, Nick Musinski didn't practice the whole week. And so our stuff is different when he's in than when he's not in. And it was spring break, you know, that we let them off till Wednesday night. We didn't came back Wednesday night and had a pretty horrible practice and was disappointed in that. But there was a shot of adrenaline Sunday when we saw our name on the board, and I figured it wouldn't be hard to get these guys to play hard.
You think? Rick Berg with us. Big win last night, 81-70 over Temple. And Sunday night, the two things, I saw all of the footage from it, the selection. Two things stood out to me. One, Nick Musinski was still in a boot. And number two, how emotional you got. And I loved your quote, "If I could control it, I would."
Well, you know, who knows why we're all made the way we're made, and I get too emotional over things that most people would think are pretty mundane, to be honest. But when something like that happens, and you've got seniors that have never made the tournament and have come here thinking they can make the tournament, and you see them rewarded, it's pretty important to me. And so when something's pretty important to me, there's not much I can do about it, Greg. That's just the way it is.
Well, and quite frankly, the at-large is, the in my mind, the biggest validation of your program yet, because, you know, obviously, you know, sure, this hadn't been a two-bid league in 32 years. And then to get to that stage and you have your program recognized for not only what it accomplished this year, and we're smart enough to know that sometimes these things are big picture too. I think that validation was huge.
Well, again, just another thing that, because we lost that game to Murray, which we would never choose to do, but we find out that, and you're right, it's a different step. I would say that about any program, any mid-major that got an at-large bid. That's a that's a pretty significant step in a program's history to do that for the first time. I think we've had one team for sure that we were told would have been in, and we've had another one, 2011, when we were 30-4 going into the NCAA tournament. I think that team had a good chance too, but you never know. And I appreciate the comments. It's this whole last, I don't know how many hours now, 72 hours have been a whirlwind.
I can imagine. And again, with the win last night, we'll talk about the game in just a few more moments. But also, I don't know that it's fair. I heard a lot of people, and I think unwisely, say that, okay, Belmont, you're an at-large. Go prove that you deserve it. And prove that you – and I thought that was unfair pressure put on this squad to validate all the other teams at Belmont as well, and validate the program, because it's just young men trying to win a basketball game at the end of the day. And I thought that was a little bit much when I heard people say, hey, okay, Belmont, prove that you belong.
Yeah, I honestly didn't hear a lot of the stuff that was going on, just trying to get Temple figured out and get our team ready. But Greg, I felt the same way. We got so much support, and from a lot of pretty prominent college basketball analysts in the game. And so I felt it, even if they didn't say it, I felt like we needed to do that. So much support for us as a team and sort of mid-majors in general. But that's okay. I mean, that's... Who knows? You find motivation where you can find it.
Yeah, and but still, and even that night, just going through it and everything. How quick now? Back in the day, you'd have to exchange film by courier, you know. But you go right into Temple Sunday night. How late did you stay up Sunday night?
I think I went to bed at 1.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, that wasn't bad. You know, there's a couple of things about that. One is the staffs don't get enough credit for all the work they do in this situation. And Tyler Holloway had the main scout on Temple, and Tyler probably honestly got 2 or 3 hours of sleep that night because we didn't even know if we'd practice in the morning or in the afternoon the next day until we woke up and knew we were flying out earlier than we thought. And then you've got the video that's online. That's what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I'm clicking on some Maryland stuff so I can watch it. And, if I want to watch every out-of-bounds play they ran this year, I can do it, or every time they defended a post-up or a pick-and-roll, or you name it, I can do it. And you're talking about back in the day. it's way different now. So we will be ready. We're going to practice this evening, and it won't even be a practice. It'll be a walkthrough of what Maryland does and what we're going to try to do. But we will be ready for them because the availability of all this video anymore.
You know, and so what time was your – I guess you win last night. What time was your flight this morning?
2 a.m. We went and packed. Hardly could get packed in time to get on the bus to get to where we're supposed to be at the airport. Fortunately, when you're able to charter, be on a charter flight, you don't have all the airport stuff, and so you go through TSA. They have their own TSA set up, and you get on the plane. And the bus goes out on the tarmac and lets you off. And same thing when we got here and got to sleep. To bed at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Belmont coach Rick Byrd with us last night. Let's just talk about your senior, Kevin McClain. 29 points came up big for you.
Yeah, he's done that a lot this year. And I guess fortunately for us, when Dylan hasn't had his kind of night, or people have just sold out to stopping Dylan, then Kevin has done that. He's had some very big games. One that comes to mind immediately is UCLA. Dylan didn't have a big scoring night. Dylan always has a good night. He always helps us win games. But, people decide they're going to keep him from catching the ball or getting any good looks, then it's going to leave some other people open for some things. And they chose to put their best defender on Dylan, which meant that Kevin, who is pretty darn hard to guard on the bounce, gave him an opportunity. And him rising up and making some tough threes probably won the game for us.
Well, and then, you know, and what does Dillon do? 14 rebounds. There's other ways to help your team.
Oh, he is an amazing defensive rebounder. And when he was a freshman, I would have said offensive rebounder. I think they're making sure they double box him out on the offensive boards. But he's remarkable how he can go get the basketball. He has a great sense of where it's going to bounce, and he's just he had a couple of huge steals for us that got us layups at our run at the end of the half. He can have a 40-point game, but he can help us win if he has a 5-point game.
Well, and I also want to talk about Grayson Murphy, the freshman out of Franklin. 35 minutes, 9 yeah. points, but with the assist-to-turnover ratio, 6 assists, only 3 turnovers in 35 minutes.
You know, it's been a real interesting year that we have a freshman point guard like Grayson, and it's been the best year maybe in Belmont history while I've coached of fewest turnovers per game. And so a lot of credit to Grayson for taking care of the ball. He had one turnover. He got picked early in the second half because I was trying to call a play, and he was paying attention to me instead of the defender. And I can remember one bad decision on a trying to hit a roller on a pick and roll, and it wasn't there. But no, pretty darn good all year long. That's not an unusual game or unusual numbers for him.
You know, and you know, obviously with Musinski, you know, coming back, and you could tell he wasn't 100%, but he just, you know, played it through. I mean, he's 8-for-12 from the field.
He was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was.
He's had worse games, I can tell you. You know, that kind of game, yeah. Coming off of no practice to be hardly at all against a team like that, and a 6'10" guy that's long and athletic, it was awfully good. Now we just have to, you know, now we just go up about 3 inches every position and we get ready to play Maryland.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about, you know, a true five is what he is, and who can face the basket. We see that, but everything. But then Seth Adelsberger, you when you come to the bench or a starter last night or whatever, yeah. but I know he didn't start, but he gives you 13 minutes. You replace a true five with basically another true five where, quite frankly, most, quote, mid-majors have to slide a 4 or even a 3 down because of that.
Well, the good thing about those two guys is that they have different kinds of games. The thing that Seth gives us is he's a really good ball screener and roller on offense, and he's a very good defender. He's stronger than Nick is. He's more experienced. And frankly, at his size, he's really an unbelievable athlete. I'd almost like to see what he'd be like as a football player with his size and his ability to run and do things. So he's a different kind of player. And so we can mix in different kinds of offenses when they're both well and out there. The problem with our Murray State game was we were without a true low post scoring threat, and we had to run basically our ball screen offense for 40 minutes, and we're just not as good if that's all we're doing.
Can you sense that this city, how much it's behind you and your team, and I'm gonna ask you another question too in a minute, but because Tennessee fan, Vanderbilt fan, MTSU fan, OVC fan, non followers of college basketball, it seems like everybody's pulling for you. So you have united a lot of fan bases behind you.
Yeah, I told my wife Cheryl a little bit ago, with all this that's kind of swirling around about us right now, just getting into 64, right? So can you imagine what it was like for Loyola Chicago last year?
No, wow.
We've heard stories. Tim Corbin sent me a text and said, His team wouldn't leave the bus till they saw the end of the game last night. And we heard, I'm not a Twitter guy, but one of our guys saw that the Predators, after their game, were in the locker room watching, all of them watching the game. And that kind of stuff just is terrific. And it's, Greg, it's why that 20-plus years ago, Dr. Trout, our president at the time, thought that going Division One was a good idea. And he was second-guessed pretty roundly around town. And look what it's done for the school, I think.
Yeah, and you know what, athletics, you always hear they're the front porch of a university is the athletics, and certainly your program is there, and what it can do for all of the programs at Belmont. And quite frankly, the OVC, I texted Beth DeBush, the commissioner of the OVC, Sunday night, and I called her Two-Bid Beth, and she likes that name. I said, your new nickname is Two-Bid Beth, because I know you guys don't play football, but football got, you know, the automatic and an at-large too with Jacksonville State and Southeast Missouri. So yeah. Her new name is Two-Bid Beth, and she likes that. She, you know, keep the, she'll take that every year. Did you pack?
She's really good at what she does. I'll
yeah.
tell you that.
Did you pack enough for a week?
Well, we had to. I had to pack three sweater vests.
Good.
Make the trip. So the rest of it, I thought I'd lost my bag last night. We get here, you know, 4:30 in the morning, and we got two buses, pep band, the cheerleaders, and the team, and support personnel, and the bags are all over the place, and couldn't find my bag with everything in it. Came to my room, thought I was, I don't know what I was going to do, and turns out it was under all the band equipment. So finally got my bag.
Yeah, you could, you know, with that sweater vest, you could get away just a regular black one. But you know, there's enough golf courses down there in Jacksonville. You could go get the shirt to put underneath it. So
I still, you know, I had, of course, I had my small bag, had all my dirty clothes in it, so I could have worn the same outfit tomorrow, I guess. A lot of things happen when you're in this kind of a deal where you just got to get up and go. And it's, you know, the toughest thing, I think, and I get why people play at different times, but for a 9 o'clock Tuesday night team to play Thursday at 3 and all the travel and loss of sleep, that's going to be a challenge.
Well, these kids, yeah, they play basketball all day. I mean, I think we saw a little bit of that with Tennessee after beating Kentucky Saturday. Physically, you can be there. It's what you are between your ears that really separates you right now.
Well, you got to push yourself through fatigue, and it's not easy for anybody. But I think our guys are going to give it a shot.
Well, Rick, you know, it's pretty amazing. You're a unifying force in this city. I know this, and it was great. Thanks for letting us know about the Predators and what Tim had said. Of course, another class act, Tim Corbin. So, Rick, I know all of Nashville and me personally pulling for you and your team and your program. You've done it the right way. Congratulations. But, hey, this thing's not over. Go win a couple more.
Well, we'll do this again then, all right?
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
All right,
Greg.
Bye.